Good morning. It is an honor to be here and a privilege to be here once again. I was a student at the school and I did my best. I didn't fail any classes. So I went through the Tennessee Bible College and I learned more than the Bible. I learned family, I learned work ethic, I learned about people. And I learned a lot because Brother Hill, not only Brother Hill, but all of the wives, all of the teachers, Brother Ramsey, Brother David, Brother Carey, all of them taught me individually and collectively, and that's why I'm here today, and that's how it's just a wealth of knowledge that I gained, and you know, I can never repay the college, ever. I can never repay the college because I can never repay someone who gave me such a gift for free that extends the rest of my life and that will eventually take me to heaven. You can't repay that. So all the things that I've learned, there's no amount of money that I can give, even if I was rich, which I'm not, but if I was rich, there's no amount of money that I can give to repay the school. That school has done so much for me. And thank you so much for being kind and being gracious and being hospitable. You guys are so nice. Brother Justin and Sister Susan has opened their doors once again and welcomed me with love. And I thank you so much. I know some of you and some of you I've probably not seen in a while since the last time I was here. But I'm glad to see you once again and that you're holding strong in these times that we're in. My work ethic has transformed since I came to the school. Not only that, but my family orientation has been extended to you. Now, I look at you as an extension of my family. And that's why my lesson is the importance of family. The importance of family. Before we begin, though, let us go again to God in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this hour giving you thanks for the most high blessings from Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for all your spiritual blessings, for all the physical blessings of life, for the families in which you've given to us. We thank you so much for the church, for our endurance, and for the chastening, dear Father, that you present to us, that we may be stronger and stronger each and every day. Thank you for our health and our strength. Thank you for our jobs. Thank you for everything you do for us each and every day. Even the things that we neglect to thank you for, we thank you for them now, dear Father. Forgive us of our sins and trespasses. Be with the ones who are not able to be here at this time. Be with all the faithful churches around the world. Be with the Northeast Church continuously. And help us to grow and to spread your gospel to every soul around the world. Bless the Tennessee Bible College and all the teachers, dear Father. Bless also the students this year and forevermore. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. The first thing is the God family. When we talk about the importance of family, the first family that I want to talk about is the God family. And the God family consists of three members. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, the Bible says. We know from reading and studying that God is eternal. We know also that he is all-powerful. We also know that he is all intelligent, all knowing. He is omnipresent in all places at one time. He is all loving. He extends his love toward us because we need it. The God family is also multi-purpose. He is all loving, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loves us. He loves us. He also created us. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, if you notice the creation process, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 starting, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Three verses, three members. And God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And in verse 3, God said, God spoke, which are words. God spoke, let there be light. And who is that light? Let there be light. God spoke the word. So you have the Father, you have the Holy Ghost, and you have the word in all three verses. He created all things in not only creation is important and the purpose of God, but spiritual upliftment. God gives us spiritual upliftment and guidance. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So the guidance of God, he gives us in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that we love one another with a pure heart. That's the spiritual upliftment. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So God gives us spiritual upliftment and spiritual guidance. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yes, your bodies are important, but your soul is the most important. Your soul is more important than your body, because your body only houses your soul. God gave you a soul. He gave you a body. But your body is a vessel that houses your soul. Your body will die one day, but your soul will live on for eternity. And that's why it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we have people in the world and in the church thinking to themselves that survival in this life is more important than the next life. Survival is important, yes, but not more important. It is more important that you get your soul right than your body right. Because I know a lot of people who are physically fit, in shape, great health, but guess what? They go out and they die. How? Gunshot. They die of car accident. They die hazards on the job. Any way you can die. Have you heard of, I believe it was a guy who worked for Microsoft, and he was on the treadmill, and he died that way. He died on the treadmill. So you can die any way and be healthy. So your life, although it's important, it's a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanisheth away. Not only that, but the family of God is unified. In John chapter 17, verse 20 through 21, Jesus prayed. And Jesus prayed, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they also may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Unity promotes salvation. That's what he said. He says, I want the church to be unified so that the world may see and believe that thou hast sent me. Unity is imperative. And not only that, but salvation. Finally, another purpose of God family is salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, not some, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So salvation is the purpose of the family of God, or the God family, I should say. And then there is the human family. We all know about the human family. Families regulate the economy. Families provide stress relief. Families provide a source of support. They support one another and can help prevent crime. Well, you say, how? Well, a review of research showed that prisoners who are visited by family members have a 40% chance or lower chance of becoming a repeat offender than those who have no family visiting them. So you say family is not important? Yes, it is. Your human family is important. Your human family is important. That blood is important. Family meals contribute to healthy diets. Family teaches you fundamental values of life, right and wrong. Where do you learn your first words, your first steps, the first things you learn? At home, in the family. That's where you learn them. So family shapes a child's future. So family is very important. The purpose of family is love. Love, a purpose of family is to unify in marriage. So you have unity there. You have love there. You have unity. And we don't create like God creates, but we procreate, don't we? So a purpose of the family is to multiply. To multiply. Another part of the family is to fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, a lot of people walk throughout life and they go from here to there. They go to high school, to college, and they finish college and they go on. And they prance about life, not even knowing what their purpose is. They don't know. They don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going. But I learned the purpose of life long ago when I read Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, where it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every secret thing. That's the purpose. So the family teaches you purpose. The family should be able to teach you more than just scriptures. The family teaches you social and spiritual lessons. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 7, even though this was written for Israel, the application to the New Testament Christians is paramount. Deuteronomy chapter 6, which was read earlier, verses 6 through 7, I'll start in verse 1. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's daughter, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What is he saying? He's saying, teach your children. Teach your children the ways of the Lord. Teach your children. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train your children. Don't let them be taught by these college professors and be taught and blindsided by them. But not only that, let me teach you some practical things. I want to share with you something practical that you may or may not be doing. You got children, you got teenagers. Teach them how to do their taxes. Teach them a good work ethic, not to be lazy and lay around in the bed all day on the weekends. Teach them right from wrong. Teach them how to do the dishes. If you're a mechanic, teach them how to work on the car. That's what you do. You train those children not only in the scriptures, but in practical life lessons. Teach your sons how to be men, fathers. And for you mothers, teach your young women or little girls how to be women. Teach them those things. And when I say you teach by example, yes, of course, we all teach by example. They look at us for an example. But what I'm saying is this. Sit down at the table and you work with them and teach them. That way, they'll learn it. They look at you, yes. But if you teach them, this is a will. Learn a will. Learn a trust. These things are going to help them. Teach them how to get a loan for a house, how to get a loan for a car, how to pay off the house. Teach them those things. Teach them how to build good credit. Those things will help them throughout their whole life. Now that's practical. And a lot of people don't do it. And some people don't do it because they don't know it. If you don't know how to do it, then how are you going to teach how to do it? Well, you can find somebody who does know how to do it and let them teach. But those are practical things. Teach them how to be financially responsible, how to invest, learn about percentages. Husbands, love your wives. That's the family. That's the head of the family. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. that charge to husbands isn't the charge to wives. Because that charge to husbands is because he's the head. You are the spiritual leader of your household. Unfortunately, there are some that don't have husbands, or there's some families that are broken. That's understandable. But you still got to be there for your kids. You still got to be there. Whether you're a woman or a man, whether you're a father or a mother. Not the most important, not better, just different. Husbands, don't think yourselves more important than the wife. Wives, don't think yourselves inferior to the husband. That's the unity of the family. And these became one flesh. So you're not better, you're not lesser, you're not more or less. God is not a respecter of persons. So God is not going to look at the wife or the husband any differently, except from when he said, this is my command to you, and this is my command to you. Wives should never feel inferior. The unity is one of the keys. Let me tell you something. God created the mule. And God said, you are a mule, and you will work constantly day and night from dusk till dawn. You're going to carry a heavy load on your back. You're going to eat grass, and you're going to lack intelligence. And you will live 40 years, you mule. And the mule said, to live like that for 40 years, that's too long, Lord. Give me about 20. And it was so. And then God created the dog, and he said, you're a dog. And you will hold vigilance over the dwellings of man, to whom you will be his greatest companion. You will be loyal. You will eat table scraps. And you will live 25 years. And the dog said, Lord, no. To live like that for 25 years as a dog is too much. It's way too much. Give me about 10 years. And it was so. And then God created the monkey. And he said to the monkey, you are a monkey. And you shall swing from tree to tree acting like an idiot. And you will be funny, and you will live 20 years. And the monkey said to God, he said, please, no. To live for 20 years as the clown of the world is just too much. Too much. Give me no more than 10. And it was so. Finally, God created man. And he told man, you're a man, the only rational being that walks on the earth. You will use your intelligence to have mastery over all the creatures. And you will dominate the earth for 20 years. And the man looked at God, he says, Lord, 20 years is just not enough. Please give me the 20 years the mule refused, the 15 years the dog refused, and the 10 years the monkey refused. And the Lord God said, well, man shall live 20 years as a man, and then get married and live 20 years like a mule, working and carrying heavy loads on his back. Then he is to have children and live 15 years as a dog, guarding his house and eating leftovers and scraps. Then, when he is old, live 10 years like a monkey, acting like an idiot to amuse his grandchildren. And it is so. Not only do you have the human family, but you have the church family. The church family is important in that it renders love to one another as well. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. That's the love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. The church also converts souls. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. We convert souls. We, by persuading them, we don't force men. We convert souls by teaching them the gospel, preaching the gospel, living a holy life before men, and persuading them to be like us. That's how we convert souls. He also said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So one person teaches, one person plants the seed, one person teaches, one person waters, but God gives the increase. I can't make a person be saved. You can't make a person be saved. All you can do is present the truth. And where it falls, what ground it falls on, that's what the heart is. That heart, that soil is. So whether they convert or not, that's up to them. You've done your job. You've done your part. There's nothing more you can do. Some people you got to snatch out the fire. But if you love someone, guess what you'll do? You'll teach them the gospel. You'll try to convert them. You won't give up, especially if it's family. I've known people who had family in the church, husbands or wives or children in the church who never converted. After 30, 40 years, they converted. Now, ain't that something? Look what God can do. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't ever give up on your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, your grandparents who are not Christians, your brother or sister, your neighbor. Teach them anyway. Preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eventually, all the trash in their heads that they think about the church will dissipate. And the truth will come in, and certainly the truth will change their lives because it has the power to do so. You see, I don't have the power. The power's not in me. The power's in the Word of God. The power's in the Word of God. The church practices and promotes unity. Just like God is unified, just like your family is unified, the church is also unified. One of the most damaging things is disunity. Disunity promotes confusion. So how did the church become disunified? Not the Northeast Church. I'm talking about the Church of our Lord, the Church of Christ. Because it was the only church, and it still is the only church. But now you look around the world and you see thousands. And what does it do to the mind? It confuses you. But who's the author of confusion? Satan is the author of confusion. To practice and teach things contrary to God's word, that's how. That's how the church became disunified. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Galatians chapter 1, I marvel not that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some who that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. When those people came into the church and started preaching what they wanted to preach, started teaching what they wanted to teach, that's when the church became divided. you had the good, and then you had the evil. And they said, well, we're going to do our own thing and start our own religion, start our own church. And that's what they did. And that's how you see, that's just a nutshell of what you see. The Roman Catholic Church split, the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, all these religions that you see. And now, because of money, you have a life church. They're changing. Why? Because of money. They want to be different, you see. But they're not the church. They're not the Lord's church at all. They are the same evil entity that the devil promotes. Disunity. In 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets or false teachers among you, who privately or privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's what happened. God warned us that it would happen, and it happened. God never intended for the church to be disunified. God intended for we all to be one in Christ. China, Europe, everywhere, Russia, every single place in the world, and Africa that you can think of should be a member of the church of Christ. Period. The church family is important in that it is the house of spiritual encouragement and enlightenment. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we who are spiritual, we ought to build the ones up who are not so spiritual or who are weaker in Christ. If you've been in Christ for a long period of time and you see a brother or sister who needs help, guess what you ought to do? You ought to help them. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1, starting. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We are the ones who are important to edify the church, church family. Finally, the church family is necessary because of salvation. Salvation is important. In fact, it is the only thing that can get you from point A, earth, to point B, heaven. The only thing that can get you from point A, earth, to point B, heaven. Now, why is it so important in the church family? Well, it is important that you become saved if you are not, and that you remain saved if you are. Here's the point of salvation. You have sin. You need to get rid of that sin. You can't go to heaven without sin. You can't go into heaven with sin. So how do you remove that sin? Well, God gave a plan to remove that sin. That plan was Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, you need to obey the gospel. And I'll tell you, you are not saved if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. You are not saved if you are a member of a denomination. You are not saved if you are an atheist. You are not saved if you don't believe in God. So, if you want to be saved, this is the way to go about it. You must hear the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must have faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that believeth in God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must have faith. You must repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You also must confess Jesus Christ in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But he that denieth me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Finally, you must be baptized. As we spoke earlier in Bible study, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip preached to him Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. Well, how did he get baptized? By preaching Jesus. In Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's right. All those things must take place before you are saved. You're saved not before you're baptized. When Paul went to Ananias, and Paul was telling the story of how he was converted, Ananias told him, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So if he was saved before he was baptized, why did he still have sin? If he had to wash them away in baptism. So you can't get to heaven with sin. You can't do it. That's why you have the blood of Jesus Christ. Is the water ready? Where's the water? Oh, I believe it is. Is there anyone who needs to respond to the gospel invitation? Please do so before it's everlasting too late. Let us all stand and sing the song of invitation.